From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
I'm going to tell you pretty lies.
Don't keep your light under a bushel. I am Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we are going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average, it is Monday evening for us. It is April the 6th, 2009.
And this is show 035.
Yeah. Okay, quick rundown of the big board, which has shrunk.
Yep.
Maybe we'll just get rid of the big board at some point.
Well, at some point, but it's still kind of big. It's just not as big as it was.
We can add things to the big board later if we need to.
Yeah.
Okay. 152 minions in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions. Minor news coming up on that. The Whedon Watch, now on a Richter scale. I'm going to say it's only registering at a 1.2 for aftershocks. Nothing really happening.
Mm-hmm.
McCartney watch, we're going to call it 0.2. It's not zero because there's always some seismic activity.
Right.
Even if it's just somebody dropping the cookie jar on...
Plates are always shifting. They just don't always cause earthquakes.
Exactly. It could be something will happen magically and will
That's
end
right.
up face-to-face with Paul McCartney.
That's right. Actually, you know what? I pushed that needle up to about 0.6.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago, and we'll talk about that in a sec.
And that's sort of why it's really 0.2.
Gotcha.
Poochie Corner, in which we discuss people discussing us. It is quiet out there.
Nobody
it's quiet.
Likes us. Everybody hates us.
No, I think
Guess
part of it
we'll
is...
go eat worms.
Part of it is we haven't done Doodly Squat, really.
This is true.
In a little while. The website's not down, but it hasn't been updating. That doesn't help too much.
Yeah, well, it's because we both are obsessing on the Twitter.
Yeah.
The same thing happened. I had this very same discussion with Colton earlier last year, where he suddenly started basically ignoring his website once
right.
he sort of fell in love with Twitter and sort of did all of his updating.
Yep.
You know, little minor updates there, and it's just an adjustment period. We'll be getting back to it.
I kind of think that Twitter is kind of at its this is the heyday. This is the day when we say hey with Twitter.
Yes, I think I'm with you there.
And that it's starting to gel, and it's almost time. It's not jumping the shark because I think it's a very useful tool, and it's not a fad.
Yep.
But sort of that initial excitement about it and discovering mm-hmm. all the ways you can be witty or interesting, it's sort of like all the internet memes that now there are mm-hmm. all these forms that are kind of boilerplate. And it's hard. It's hard to continually find interesting ways to prod people, you know?
Yep. That's the sound of me prodding someone.
You're in a very trollish mood tonight.
I am sort of troll-like. Who's that tripping upon my bridge? Something like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, we've both been, in our own little ways, very handy in the last couple of weeks.
We have noticed. We have.
Storm injured himself.
I did. It was a gardening accident.
It was a bizarre gardening accident.
I know. It's very Spinal Tap and... I'll try to make this not boring. Just for the record, I'm in a lousy mood, but I'm so happy to be talking to everybody that's listening that it's like awesome. So
the next 3 minutes are just about us. You can
exactly.
just fast forward if you really need to.
We're going to try to make it interesting navel gazing.
Yes.
Wife and I decided that we would plant a native plant garden, which... On Twitter, I remarked that we're basically spending a couple of $100 and many hours planting weeds. And it's only partially true. A weed is only a plant that you haven't thought about that just sort of grows wherever. Mm-hmm. It's when you put it in a deliberate setting where it's not going to look like some scraggly thing that's going to poison you that it becomes a plant or a flower.
A natural grass, if you will.
One of them is a grass. Most of them are herbaceous. So yes.
Does that mean they eat other plants?
That's correct. It's a herbivorous plant.
Yes.
We have planted native Venus fly traps. It's really cool. The neighbors are freaking out. No, we didn't. But we did prepare the soil.
So you planted all this shit.
We did. And I got something called a matic, M-A-T-T-O-C-K. And you know, like, prospector.
Oh, the old people love him. He always wins the case.
He does, because he has this tool.
He's folksy and he wears a seersucker jacket.
And he carries a matic. A pneumatic matic.
Yeah.
If you know, like the typical prospector with the, you know, old Gummy Johnson here, and he has his hat and his scruffy beard and that tool that's like a pickaxe.
Yep.
Well, he carries a pickaxe, but a matic is like a pickaxe, except for one of the axe or the pick ends has sort of a flat blade on it.
Uh-huh.
And the idea is you chunk it into the ground, and voila, you have cultivated the earth.
Cultivated the earth. So you basically, you wailed away at the ground with your gardening blunderbuss.
Exactly. And oddly, you'd think, wow, that's going to hurt your back. Well, it did hurt my back, but that's not the injury. My wrist has been hot and cold and growing things.
Awesome.
And generally not very useful ever since.
Is this your wanking wrist or your cord fingering wrist?
Well, I'm ambiwankstress, so
okay.
You know, you compensate. You do what you have to. It's survival.
Yeah.
But I'd say mission accomplished. The plants are growing. The wrist is aching. But all's right in the world. You've been handy as well.
I have been handy as well. I just this past weekend pulled out about six, the final six yucca plants, or we have guys that mow our lawns in the summer, and as they so charmingly pronounce them, the yuccas.
Mm-hmm.
They had taken some out last summer, and we finally decided to get rid of the rest of them, and I just grabbed my spade and my big long metal pole for what to cut through roots. Or
see, if
roots.
If you had a matic, You would have made quick work of it and
I would
your
have.
Wrist.
Well, I have this big, heavy bar that's just got a blade at, you know, sort of a like a chisel type blade at one end. And that did just fine. It was just a very long, non-handled matic, if you will.
So it was a grizzly bar.
Yes, it was the grizzly bar. And I removed some yuccas.
Now, are they actually, if, you know, I know you, Paul, have had it. But you folks out there, have you had yucca at like a South American or Mexican or Central American restaurant? Is it that? Like, could you cut it up and fry it and serve it with a garlic sauce?
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't have done it with this stuff because I resented it. So,
but all the more reason to eat it.
Well, you can I'm not that vindictive of an opponent. I'm giving it its dignity. It's just sitting in the front corner of my house waiting for me to break it down into those garbage, you know, those lawn bags.
And you don't think that that's more cruel?
I don't know. Not so much cruel as vicious.
Fry those suckers.
Okay, I'm going to do that right now.
Fry them.
I'll leave the dirt on. So anyway, I removed those, and I now, as you know, Storm,
uh-huh.
I have been turning a project of mine into a multi-month project of converting, ripping out the carpet in my family room, which is about 12 feet by about 27 feet. The carpet, which, let's just say, bore the brunt of our dog's attempts at toilet training. And you can do the math on what it smelled like.
Now you
and replacing it with what will eventually be Pergo flooring.
Right, you're missing an opportunity.
Am I? What opportunity is that?
Indoor hockey rink.
Ooh.
All you need, get yourself like 10 old refrigerators, strip out the cooling units, just sew them all up together.
Mm-hmm.
Tied or to I could the light
do,
switch.
I could do the cartoon route where I just, you know, wet down the whole floor and then grab a couple of wires out of a air conditioner and just plunk them into the water and turn the air conditioner on high. I think I saw Chili Willy do that once. Yep.
Have you considered acid pit?
I have not.
You know, I'm inspired by Portal, where you had those rooms where it gave you the warning, oh, don't go in the water. It's actually acid.
You know, the other thing I was considering was a Nerf Thunderdome.
Ooh, wow. You can do that anyway.
Which would be kind of fun. Yeah. Man, could you imagine how much awesome there would have been when you and I were like 10 and somebody had made a Nerf Thunderdome that you could go to? I would have made my parents pay $50 each time I went.
It's an opportunity out there for someone. We're not even going to charge you for that one, folks.
Sure. But the short version, I now also in the back of my van right now have about $1,100 worth of Pergo flooring. I would have transferred it into the room, because what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to leave it in the room for 3 days or so to acclimate. But it was so damn rainy today, I wasn't doing it. I just wasn't having it. So I've got that done.
It's like it's a hamster or something, you know. Oh, keep it in its little box before you put it in the habit trail, yeah, or it'll freak out.
Or like it's like a goldfish of flooring, I guess.
Ooh, goldfish of flooring, front runner for title of the...
Front runner. So I've been busy putting off laying down my Pergo floor is where I'm at right now, which I consider sort of handy. It's a project of a sort.
Oh, it's
procrastination. Procrastination is a type of project. You build it into any schedule.
I think of it as more of a skill.
The 10-minute mark was about 45 seconds ago.
That and incompetence. You don't realize how great a skill incompetence is. It's hard.
You know, it is. I mean, with some people, it comes naturally. Others hone it into an art, yeah, or a craft, at least.
It doesn't happen by accident.
Yeah. Well, not the true masters of it, anyway.
So are we in the fresh?
We're just sort of semi-segueing into the fresh. Go ahead and bring things into fresh.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and declare we've been in the fresh, because we could have navel-gazed, but I think we made that entertaining.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, I have 4 topics that can be talked about or not.
Mm-hmm.
So Like the Wind, which is carried over from last week.
Mm-hmm.
Credits for Your Thoughts, Mookie, and American Tunic.
I like the cut of American Tunic's jib. Let's go with that one.
I'm glad you picked that one. I think this one has some meat on its bones.
I knew you wanted me to pick it.
I did. You know how I turned the word tunic.
Yes. Yes. There was love in that phrase.
Okay. So you remember playing D&D that the basic unit of clothing was like the tunic. You mm-hmm. wake up, you are in a small room, and you reach for your tunic, yep, and you put it on.
Yep.
So it was the tunic, and you never really thought about what it was, or a jerkin, one or the other.
Yeah, that was always one of my favorite words.
Yeah, you don your jerkin. Yep. It is a +1 jerkin of not smelling. So never put much thought into what it was. It was just like the basic unit of clothing.
Yeah, it was the thing you had until you got something cool.
Right. Now, it's my belief that the American tunic or jerkin is the t-shirt. And follow me here. I'm going to go back in time. I'm going to take you on a journey, journey that I haven't researched at all, because we're... The theremin kicks
music
in, because we're not being paid for the podcast. If someone wanted to sponsor us, I might actually look up the history of t-shirts. I'm just going to go with folk knowledge for this one. It's been around for a long time. Like, you can think of old movies where the guy would be sweaty in his t-shirt. It was an undershirt. It was not something that you displayed to the world.
Correct. Until
like the 60s or 70s.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with you there, because I'm going to shoot your whole momentum in the foot, so to speak, by the bellwether moment for the undershirt was 1930. Oh, shit. I can't remember what year it was. I want to say maybe 36.
it was the movie. The undergarment riot of the
30s. No. This is in my
And this is not going to blow me away because
this
I'm going
to find
a way to make
it was
it work.
It was the movie It Happened One Night. Clark Gable.
Oh, right.
Wore his it wasn't called a wife beater at the time, but wore his undershirt or was seen in his undershirt and then followed up early in the next decade with Brando, Stanley Kowalski in Streetcar Named Desire.
Those are the movies I was referring to as.
Of course, when you said the '60s, you were adding the 1936 to 1940.
No. Because it appeared there, but it had not yet become the quintessential American garment.
Okay, that was, fair enough. I'm just playing with you anyway. Go ahead. I'm actually totally with you that the t-shirt sort of came into its own in the 60s and 70s.
But I'm glad you brought in the particulars because I had not done the research.
Mine is only sketchy at best.
No, we're going with it. And there might be a t-shirt, a website that goes through this already. If there's not, we have the seeds for it right here.
Right.
So that was really Prelude. And of course, the greaser look did involve a t-shirt with the cigarette pack rolled up into it.
Sure.
So certainly the t-shirt was known, but it was sort of a grittier, almost rebellious thing to do.
It was a blue collar.
Yeah.
A ruffian.
Because it still was.
Ruffian wear.
Right, because for most people, it still was an undergarment. So it was almost an act of defiance to say, no, this is me. I'm not hiding anything here.
Yep.
Which brings us neatly into the 60s, 70s, when it became this incredible means of self-expression and social interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Where suddenly, I don't know if Have a Nice Day was the first t-shirt of its sort. But the idea that you had a message on your shirt that was personal, meant something to you, or at least you used it to project what you thought people should believe you believed.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like signature lines on emails.
Yep.
You know, like that thing about Benjamin Franklin. You know, well, whatever. You know, you just think it sounds cool.
Right.
And now this brings it, of course, to the reminiscing part, because that's, you know, what we do.
Right.
But like every mall, no matter what the size, no matter where you lived, had a shop or a kiosk where you could get your super customized shirt, the heat transfer. Yes.
Yes.
Many involving trucking themes, Trans Ams.
Motorcycles.
Popular television shows. Hippie themes, etc.
Yep.
I don't remember if I told the story already, so I'm afraid to tell it.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've told you, Paul, the story, but you, pod people and not pod, but other device people, stop me.
Zune heads.
Zooners or, you know, magic brick-a-majig, whatever you have. Or maybe your computer. I don't know.
Magic Brick-a-Majig. I'm going to go right out and say that is the name of this podcast episode right here. Not even a front runner. It's what it's going to be called.
Okay. Only magic Brick-a-Majiggers can stop me if I've already told this before.
Right.
When my sister was, I think, 11 years old, she got braces.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of traumatic for an 11-year-old girl.
Sure.
Well, for anybody in that age bracket, that you're going through an awkward period as it is, and then they're going to stuff metal in your face. I went through it myself a few years later.
Mm-hmm.
So to cushion the blow, my parents decided very wisely, I believe, this I think was brilliant. They got her a t-shirt at the mall that had the transfers, and they found one with a kind of your typical smiley face. The smiley face had cute little braces on, smiling really big. And the caption stated, "Tin grins are in."
My brother had the very same t-shirt.
It's a brilliant shirt because, you know, it wraps so many things up, and, you know, I don't know if it actually cheered my sister up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Paul, you know, because you are a parent, that if you bring something to one child, it's often wise to bring something for the other child.
Right.
I wore glasses.
Yep.
And had been wearing glasses for a couple of years. And actually, it even struck me as funny at the time.
And you were like, what, 7, 8 at this point?
I was 8 or 9. And so, you know, my parents wisely again, you know, decided that if they were going to bring something for my sister, they should do something for me, too. I do appreciate that. But there wasn't a shirt that was kind of cool with, you know, tying together this cultural image with this rhymey thing. But fortunately, the t-shirt kiosk always had an answer. And they could fill any need.
The t-shirt kiosk was kind of the source of all wisdom for the 70s, 70s elementary and junior high schooler.
Oh, completely.
It was an oracle, if you will.
Well, and if you didn't find exactly what you want, the bit of wisdom you were looking for, you could make your own.
In little rainbow lettering, sure.
Yep.
Or fuzzy lettering.
So my parents decided and had made a green shirt with a darker green felt lettering that said, no image, glasses are great. And even at the time, I appreciated that they had brought it to me. And I wore it like one day.
Oh, I know. You
like,
did not.
Well, kind of like the kids bring dad the tie, and the tie has like Smurfs on it. And but it's okay.
Well,
with
the thing of it is that the dad puts on the tie and then he gets in the car to go to work and he takes the tie off and puts on his real ties.
Yeah. Or he gets to work and everybody knows his kid got him a tie for Father's Day. Oh, how cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, nothing bad happened to me, but I felt like the biggest
tool. Well, because we know how accepting and flexible children are, especially at age, you know, 9.
If I weren't large for my age, I'm sure I would have had my ass completely kicked. So that's kind of my little t-shirt experience.
Oh my God,
and your history lesson.
We totally have to sell t-shirts. Like a green t-shirt with darker green lettering just says glasses are great. And I can picture that exact font that they used too. Was it that sort of rounded?
Yep, that's the one.
It 70s font. That they should just call that like iron-on transfer sans or something.
Yeah, it wasn't like the hippie rounded one that was outrageously.
Yeah, no, it's just like,
yeah, rounded sans serif.
Yeah, friendly, a friendly sans.
So to kind of bring it all home, I believe that when the American Empire falls and is gone forever, however long that is, and some future society is making its movies about America and what it was, well, there will be two fashions that will appear in those movies. One will be some high version of either the business suit or disco wear, because, like, you know, you look back at Elizabethan England, you never see the common folk wear, typically. You see the fancy stuff.
You see the garb.
But for those who are making films about the real people, it's just going to be T-shirts. T-shirts and blue jeans. That's it's the American tunic.
Wow, that's a lovely essay. That's like something you could put something like that together in The New Yorker.
Hey,
if you made it fancier.
I can make things. Actually, I write a lot better than I talk. So if anyone out there at The New Yorker wants to pay me some money to write that up, I would be open to an offer.
Yes, because we know there's several people on staff at The New Yorker who listen to this iPod.
I'm certain.
This podcast with regularity. So
this brick-a-ma-jigger.
The magic brick-a-ma-jig.
Well, do we want to?
So here's a question.
Yeah, okay.
Now that we've discussed that t-shirt, I'm wondering if you are like me, and when I say you, I mean you, Storm, and I mean you people out there, as a young, especially for the males, maybe the females as well, but, like, you know, the stereotype is that girls like, you know, all kinds of different clothing and shoes and dresses and what have you, and boys didn't have that. So I posit that when we are young, we, especially, you know, suburban white males of the 70s and 80s, would covet T-shirts.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder, can you think of if not the first t-shirt that you really wanted and said, "Mom and Dad, get me that t-shirt," can you think of a t-shirt or t-shirts that you coveted? I will start with my two examples very quickly.
Okay.
The one I had seen in the back of some comic books. There was a few standard.
A few
standard ads. Actually, now I can't remember if it was comic books or Cracked magazine or something. But
yeah, they ran the.
There
same
was
ads.
A particular. You know, it was obviously an iron-on transfer. It was a picture of like a dirt bike. Guy riding a dirt bike.
Was there a and sunset was, involved?
No. I think it was he was just riding his dirt bike, and it was sort of a circular, the overall pattern, like a picture was cut sort of in a circular pattern, and going around it in lettering, really sort of loud, obnoxious lettering, it said, "Do it in the dirt." Now, I couldn't have given two shits about motorcycles, but for some reason... I was charmed by the shirt and really wanted it and never got it.
Oh, well, yeah, I could see how it would have tapped into a certain
it was a
young
primal
version of masculinity.
Yeah, it was a primal, trying to claim my masculinity. And the other...
Because it's part boy and it's part man.
It is,
right?
It is. It's on the cusp.
Right, because it's got the
transition.
Motorcycle, which or the dirt bike, which is sort of a more of a grown-up masculinity. Yep. But
and although
really.
it's sort of a playing thing, like a much like a bicycle, then it's got the whole do it aspect, which you didn't even know what it meant, but you knew
action.
It was something. Yeah, it was action and sort of
action shirt
suggestive.
So what's
my other t-shirt heartbreak was when I was very very young. We are probably talking five.
Mm-hmm.
McDonald's ran a very limited contest where you'd go to eat at their fine restaurant.
They are fine restaurants.
And the manager would come around to the various, would at some point come around to the various children who happened to be there at the time, of which my brother and I were two, and would say, "Okay, so we've got a Big Mac campaign going. And if you can say the Big Mac ingredient list in 2 seconds or less, you'll win a t-shirt that says the entire Big Mac ingredient list." Which is, of course, two all-beef patties,
special
sauce, lettuce,
cheese, pickles onions
on a sesame seed bun.
Which I will no longer eat, by the way. But I can still recite the... Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And it was written on the shirt. It was probably across three lines, but it was done with like no spaces.
Yeah.
And it was in that same cool rounded 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Font.
T
font. And boy, did I want that shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother got one and I failed the test because I was just too young. I couldn't pronounce it all within 2 seconds and be intelligible.
And they wouldn't be good sports. And
they
like...
would not. Be like, good sport. And it, you know what it was? Even beyond the fact that it was a cool t-shirt, that you won it, it was wrapped up in a Big Mac container.
You know
like
what?
And back then they were styrofoam. None of this earth-friendly shit. It was a cool Big Mac styrofoam container that they sort of, crunched it up into. I wanted my prize in my Big Mac container, and I never won it. And I think that's why I have always resented McDonald's since that day.
I'm just going to say it. Fuck McDonald's. All right.
You said it.
All right. I said it. You said it.
We've all been thinking it, but you're brave enough to say it.
I did. We all know it.
Now there's going to be a bunch of lawyer clowns showing up at your front
literally,
door.
Literally, they're all going to be, the McDonald's lawyer corps are all dressed up like Ronald.
with briefcases.
Just to throw people off. Like, who are these clowns? Holy shit, they know what they're doing.
Maybe you can drive them off with your Matic. And see, I have brought it back around to the beginning.
Okay. Well, I not that I would try to top you, but, I'll save my t-shirts for my t-shirt heartbreak. Well, no, I'll go ahead.
Go ahead. Do it. Give it a quick one.
One was Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, awesome.
I still remember clear as day. Again, it was like a big circle and the Battlestar Galactica was like projecting out from the circle.
Yeah. Oh, I can see it. I can totally see it.
And the other was, I'm embarrassed. I'm proud to be embarrassed that I really wanted a t-shirt of a black Trans Am.
Like just a black Trans Am?
Yeah. And
like driving towards you?
Yeah, that kind of thing. And this was before Knight Rider. So you imagine when Knight Rider came out that I just totally lost it.
Oh, you just freaked, I'm sure.
I think we've provided people a lot of entertainment for their dollar today.
I think so. And of course, I guess audience participation alert. Tell us about your childhood t-shirt wants and desires.
Or not even childhood, but or any t-shirt that you think was pretty darn special that you either didn't get.
Yeah. Go with the early stuff, because that tends to be more compelling. Wow, this may be our longest podcast ever, and all we talked about was gardening and t-shirts.
How about that?
I love it.
How about a rundown of the next couple of weeks?
Oh, okay, hold on. Let me reach around here for my laptop so I don't have to go straining across the room to look at my calendar. Here is my laptop opening up. We are this Wednesday at Diamond Joe Casino in Dubuque, Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
On Thursday, we're at the 4th Street Theater in Des Moines, Iowa. And Saturday, we're at Penguins Comedy Club in Cedar Rapids.
Good to be
back
there.
The following Friday, April 17th, we are at Tanner's Grill and Bar with Sean Morey. Very funny comedian, singer-songwriter.
Yep, great matchup.
23rd and 24th of April, we're at Lula Lounge with Jonathan Colton. I believe those shows, if they aren't sold out, they're damn close.
Big fun.
And then in May, we are going to be in Dallas at the Granada Theater in Solana Beach, basically San Diego, California, at the Belly Up Tavern, and Largo in Los Angeles in mid-May. And lots of other good stuff coming up.
So go to paulandstorm.com for more monkey business and things and to become a minion. Oh, that's
yes,
the last little thing.
Yes, I was just going to prompt you to announce, since we have passed into a new categorization of minions, what is the name for minions 151 through 200, Storm?
Now, all of the categories have been very special so far, but I'm predicting a great frenzy that people are really going to, if you've been on the fence...
Mm-hmm.
Now is the time. I've been watching too many infomercials, because the next, I guess, 48 people to bring in their photo pledging their minionship will become part of the Disciples of Lore.
Awesome. You know who hates that?
Who's that?
The super awesome tardy doo-doo head.
That's right. Well, they're earlier. They're always going to have a greater rank.
That's true. And they're super. The Disciples of Lore are disciples, but they're not super disciples.
And you're not sure about them. They might be a little bit bad.
Could be.
Might be a little bit bad. So go to paulandstorm.com for that.
Yeah, all that crap's going on. And I guess we will see you next week. Some cool stuff to announce in the coming weeks, but we can't do it yet.
No, we can't.
Oh,
we
what like a tease.
We can't.
Such cop teases.
And you know that I'm Storm.
And I am Paul.
And we have been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Boxy, it's a Daggett.
Go do things.
she may weave that magic spell and break your heart tomorrow. Bubblegum and braces, won't you please go home to play? I didn't like the girl next door, but that was yesterday. Just a